You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
No free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. Thomas Jefferson in 1776. I don't think it gets any clearer than that. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Armed American Radio, where we are feeding your head with the truth about your right to keep and bear arms, unlike the mainstream, lamestream media across the country who would have nothing to do with the truth. Welcome back to another edition of the program. Should you wish to participate in this evening's show, please feel free to join us at 877-956-9566. 877-956-9566, or email me live on the air at mark@armedamericanradio.org, and we'll get you out there and answer your questions live on the program. A good one it is going to be. Our guests this evening are Mr. Dick Heller and Mr. Dane Von Breichenruckhardt. Dick Heller, of course, of Heller versus D.C. fame, the American patriot that you and everybody you know, including myself and everyone across this great country, owes probably an unpayable debt of gratitude, and Mr. Von Breichenruckhardt, who is the president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation in Washington, D.C. Both gentlemen will be joining me shortly. A couple fun things I want to go over quickly first. Our board operator this evening is Sean, and the program is brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association, the ultimate resource for the armed citizen. I am your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist for the official publication of the USCCA, Concealed Carry Magazine. If you're not a member, join us at www.usconcealedcarry.com. Later on in the program, I will be giving away two free annual memberships to the USCCA, which will also include a one-year subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine. I'll let you know when that's coming in. We'll take the first two callers on that later on in the program. First of all, some fun stuff today. I got rid of that nickel-plated sissy pistol and got myself a Glock. A Glock 23, to be exact. It's been one of my favorite guns for many years, and for a long time I got away from the Glock. Not sure why. Guess I wanted to play around with something a little bit different. You know, those nickel-plated sissy pistols, and I'm not knocking anybody that's got them. I love them. But I did. I got rid of the Paracarry 9 today and picked up the Glock 23, so that rounds me out in the calibers. I've got everything from the 25 on up to the 45. That's not including the rifles, but that's fodder for another program. We'll go there later. So there is a new gun in Mark A's stable. A is the middle initial. Don't ask me what it stands for. I'll let you put in there whatever you want. But Mark A has a new gun in the stable. Also, for followers of the AmericanGunfighter.com, my blog, there's been a slowdown. I apologize. Been very, very busy lately, so stick with me. Continue getting out there at the AmericanGunfighter.com. There's a couple new updates out there today. While I was at the gun shop today, gentleman by the name of Romwell, great people over there at Big Woods Goods in the metro Atlanta area. If you're in the area, go check them out. Cases of ammo, every gun you can imagine in stock. If you're not in the area and you're listening to us anywhere else across the country, join them over there at bigwoodsgoods.com. They do ship anywhere in the United States. But we got to talking a little bit because I do quite a bit of traveling, and he says, you know, you ought to talk about air travel with guns as a public service announcement on Armed American Radio. So we're going to go ahead and do that for a second. You see this on gun forums across the country. How do you travel with a firearm? I'm getting ready to fly somewhere. I don't know what to do. I'm a little bit nervous. I've never flown with my gun. I happen to fly a little bit more than the average Joe, and I travel with my gun everywhere. So let me give you a couple little pointers out there. First off, it's simple. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be scared. Take your gun with you everywhere you go. The first thing you need is a locked, hard-sided locked container. You can pick one of those up at centerofmass.com, for that matter. If you've bought a Smith & Wesson, any of the plastic cases that your guns come in, you'll notice the little hole in the handles there for a padlock. Go ahead and use that. But the TSA requires a hard-sided locked container, so pick one of those up. You'll put your firearm and your empty magazines in there. Please make sure they're unloaded. Double-check them, triple-check them. That is not the problem you want to have when you get to the airport, making that mistake. We don't want to read about you in the paper. But you'll put that locked, hard-sided container with your weapon inside it with the empty magazines in your suitcase. Ammunition must ride in a hard-sided container, or it can ride in the original packaging, which is the easiest thing to do. Just go ahead and put it in there, and it can ride in the same bag. You do not need a second bag. You used to with AirTran, but they have woken up and changed those rules. When you get to the ticket counter to check that bag, check the bag in, declare that you have a firearm, unlock the bag. The bag itself has to have a lock on it. unzip it, unlock the hard-sided container, show the agent behind the counter, the ticket agent, that you have a firearm, declare that you have a firearm. They will look and inspect your firearm very quickly, just glance down at it, make sure that it's in there, it is what it is and what you say it is. They may ask you if it's unlocked. They will then hand you a little yellow or orange card declaring that your weapon is unloaded. You will sign it, put the date on it, put it back inside the bag, lock the container, lock the suitcase, and in Atlanta anyway, and I've hit a number of airports across the country, but Atlanta is the only one that makes you walk over to the TSA after you've checked it in. TSA will ask if it's a firearm in the bag. You'll go ahead and declare the firearm in the bag. They'll inspect it and send you on your way. The whole process takes about 2 minutes. Check out tsa.gov for more information, and I have copies of that in front of me, but I won't go into reading it. The regulations are very, very clear. Don't be afraid to travel with your firearm. Don't break the law. Do exactly as it says. It's very, very simple. You do not need to arrive at the airport 2 hours early. Don't freak out. It's legal to travel with a gun. Guns are legal commodities in this country, at least now. So check out tsa.gov if you have any further questions. Don't be afraid to travel with your firearms. Stay safe wherever you're at. Take your gun with you. All right, a couple things here. I'll get to a little bit of mail here. I'm just going to read one of them. You pop in here to the email box at mark@armedamericanradio.org, and we'll see what we've got. We had something come in. I was kind of knocking Senator Durbin last week, thanking him very much for his vote, keeping felons safe on the national reciprocity. And I just got this email in here from Wayne. Wayne says, Mark, just want to tell you how much I enjoy your Armed American Radio show. I've downloaded all the shows. I live in Oklahoma and have a carry permit. I never leave the house without my weapon. Good for you, Wayne. I live across the country from Richard Durbin, but I did email him to let him know that come election time, I hope that all the voters in the NRA remembered his part in getting the gun bill defeated. Also, I emailed Senator John Thune to let him know that I appreciated his stand about gun control. Thanks to you and Tim Schmidt for a great radio show. And that is actually from Earl. Earl, we appreciate that very, very much. I got your name wrong. It's either Wayne or Earl. It came in on both, but you signed it Earl, so we'll use Earl. I assume you know that's your name. Aside from that, our guests this evening, Mr. Dick Heller and Mr. Dane von Breichenruckhardt, two of the best out there, patriots who have sacrificed many years of their lives so that all of us can enjoy the freedoms that we currently have. And I want to read, before I bring them in here in just a second, what it is we're up against. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring them in here and read these to them while they're on the air. And Dick and Dane join me live right now. I believe we've lost Dane. Sean, if we can bring him back somehow. Dick, you're on Armed American Radio. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Dick Heller, I'm here.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've lost Dane. We'll get him back here in just a second, I'm sure. And when I see him pop up, we'll bring him right back in with us. Dick, first of all, I was supposed to speak with both you and Dane this weekend at the Georgia Carry Convention here in downtown Atlanta, and you, like many thousands of other people, apparently I slept through an awful lot of heavy weather in Atlanta, and you guys got stuck, like many thousands of other folks, unable to get into town. And the real loss there was the folks, and I believe we've got Dane back on here.
Yes.
Okay, good deal.
Lock him in.
Dane, you're on Armed American Radio. Sorry about that. Welcome back. We've got Mr. Heller on the line with us. How are you this evening?
Hello?
Yes, you back on live on Armed American Radio. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I got disconnected.
That's okay. Well, you're back live now. I was just talking with Dick about the fact that I was supposed to speak with both of you gentlemen at the Georgia Carry Convention Saturday this weekend, and you, like many thousands of other people, from what I understand, got held up in D.C. with some canceled flights. So everybody at the GCO convention missed having you there, and believe me, an awful lot of fun it would have been. So thanks for joining us on the program tonight. We've got a lot to go over with both of you gentlemen. And first off, what I want to do is I'd like to read some news and commentary. And folks, you can pick this up at gunnewsdaily.com. I encourage everybody to get out there. But listen to some of this, Dane, and some of this, Dick, and let me get your thoughts here. This is current news and headlines from across the country relative to guns. Federal legislation and news. Feinstein takes on aerial hunting. Foreign law shouldn't affect American gun owners. What went wrong with the concealed carry bill? And Dane, I want to get into this with you real quick. California, Ninth Circuit giving gun case another look. Let's start there. Dane, what the heck is going on here?
Well, the handwriting is on the wall. They know that they're given the Heller 1 decision, it's just a matter of time because they put the crack in the wall. And essentially what they want to do is that, is in as much as they see the handwriting on the wall, they're going to try to do as much as they can to try to retard our ability to exercise the right that was recognized in the decision. They're going to try and somehow get some sort of a regulatory hold on things. So what they might do, they might appear
to
be lightening up on one matter while actually simultaneously they're actually getting ready to string up a whole new set of guidelines and rules and regulations on the other.
Dane, hold on for us 1 second. We're going to bring you right back after the break. We'll be right back on Armed American Radio, everybody. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's 3-Step Plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the 3-Step Plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
The outlandish claims are everywhere. Settle your debt for pennies on the dollar. Trinity wants you to know the whole truth about debt settlement plans. Fact, most debt settlement clients pay thousands in upfront fees only to end up in bankruptcy with their credit scores ruined. It's true. With debt settlement, your creditors can sue you, forcing you to sell your assets and surrender your paycheck to wage garnishment. If you have a sincere desire to meet your obligations, remember this. Trinity has been a loyal member of the Christian Radio family for more than 20 years. Let us show you how to work within your budget, pay off your debt, save thousands, improve your credit rating, and preserve your good name. Call 1-800-936-5348. That's 1-800-936-5348. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-936-5348.
Pretty cool music, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to let everybody know there's a slight possibility we are having some technical difficulties. So bear with us as we feverishly work to correct whatever it is. We're trying to get that repaired as we speak. So we're going to continue on with the program. We've got Dane von Breiken-Rukart, president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation, and Dick Heller on the line with us. Gentlemen, can you hear us okay?
Loud and clear.
Okay.
I can hear you, but I hear an echo in the background.
We're working on correcting that right now. Dane, go ahead and continue that thought, if you would.
Well, all I'm saying is that, well, first of all, you know that it's ironic that the Ninth Circuit actually agrees with us that the Second Amendment should be incorporated under the 14th, under the Due Process Clause. And, of course, what set up the conflict is that you have the Second and the Seventh Circuit saying that it should not be incorporated. So you've got a split between the circuits. And, you know, all I'm saying is that if it appears that that some legislature in some state looks like they're beginning to sort of cave into your demands, don't let it go wobbly on you. Stay on top of it. Watch everything they're doing. Here in the District of Columbia, when we won the case, when the Heller case prevailed, literally in the same day, they said two different things. The first thing they said, coming off the steps is of the courthouse, they said that they would abide by the spirit and the letter of the law. And later on that afternoon, the what is the equivalent of the Attorney General for the District of Columbia, Mr. Nichols, furiously said, well, they very well might have won this case, but we still have our gun control rights, and we're going to make it as difficult as we possibly can for anyone to own a gun in this town. So here you got an administration in a period of hours talking out of both sides of their mouth. And, of course, what they've done in the meantime is that they've tried to make it as expensive and cumbersome and awkward ridiculous as they can for you to still own a gun in the District of Columbia. I mean, you got to jump through a lot of hoops, and you better hope that you don't miss your re-registration, because it's not enough that you've registered the gun. You got to come back in intervals and re-register the gun, and if you forget to do it, then you can be charged with a felony, possession of a unregistered firearm in the District of Columbia.
Now, Dane, I understand, the Wall Street Journal had something out that's it was titled Supreme Challenge, Judge Calls Out Scalia Over Heller Language. Now, I don't want to go into that copyrighted material and read it verbatim. What I want to do is paraphrase. What they're saying in here is there's a possibility now that the Ninth Circuit wants to view this en banc. Did I say that correctly?
En banc.
En banc. Okay, that's why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what they're trying to purport here is that they think, because this decision and the Seventh Circuit is now going to go to the Supreme Court, what do they want to do? Go back and revisit this?
They realize now what they did. They stepped on their own toes, and I'm sure now what they're trying to do is to say, well, wait a minute, that was a three-judge panel. Let's go back and review it. Let's try to unsay what we said. And what that would do, if they're successful in doing that, and they go back and it's heard on bonk, no doubt, probably they will change their mind and they'll say, well, no, it should not be incorporated. Now you don't have a split in the circuit, because the Ninth was the only problem, the only thing that might, and I say might because I'm still very concerned. In the Emerson case down in Texas, even though Emerson lost his case, as you know, in dicta, which means non-controlling language, the court, the Fifth Circuit, wrote a magnificent dossier on the Second Amendment and what they thought of the Second Amendment and how it should be incorporated. The problem is that it was not necessarily controlling language. And so but you might be able to slip it by, you don't know. What you could do is, well, certainly you would file for certiorari and you would say, look, the Fifth Circuit says the following. This is their position. This is their attitude. This is what because, I mean, they wrote a diatribe on this thing. It wasn't like a page or two. I mean, they wrote the 90% of the decision was this diatribe on Second Amendment jurisprudence, and they clearly put themselves squarely in the middle of our side, the way that we look at it. So if now the Ninth Circuit goes back and revisits this decision, because I believe when they first announced it, a request for an en banc was turned down. I could be mistaken about that, but I believe that they did ask for an en banc for the whole Ninth Circuit to hear it and vote on it, and that was turned down. Now, if the mandate has not been issued yet, then they might come back and revisit it and then change their mind and agree with the Second and the Seventh, and then we would have to go down to try to find another circuit that agreed with our position and file a petition there.
Okay, what's basically happening here is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the Ninth Circuit is saying, hey, you know what? After what the Seventh Circuit did, the Supreme Court's going to take this. We don't want them to rule with the way we think they might rule, so we're going to go back and revisit this. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so in a nutshell, we've got justices in the Ninth Circuit playing games with our freedoms and our rights. And, folks, this is scary stuff, and you have got to stay on top of this stuff. You've got to stay on top of this. This is the way these people are trying to take away your freedoms and your rights to own a weapon. And they're going to do this. You know, Billy Horn and Dick and Dane, you missed this at the convention, but Georgia Representative Billy Horn made this comment. It's incrementalism. And, Dane, I think we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Where they just creep in on you day after day after day, and they do it over a span of time. And now you got the Ninth Circuit out there, folks, going to go back and say, we don't think we want to do that because we believe the Supreme Court will rule against us. And this is the incorporation thing. Doesn't this go into incorporation, Dane?
Absolutely. In fact, incorporation is the very next natural thing to do because clearly, given the language of the decision in the court, Scalia made it very clear that this is an absolute granted right. And, of course, there's a second argument. There are two ways that you could incorporate the Second Amendment into the Bill of Rights binding against the states. And one of them is under the Privileges and Immunities Clause, which has not been used. In fact, I don't think anyone has. There were instances where lawmakers tried to use it, but in those instances in the past where the amendments were brought in under the Second Amendment, it happened during the Due Process Clause, in the Due Process. There now is a kind of a new jurisprudence that is calling for the Second Amendment, instead of being incorporated under the
30 seconds.
Okay, I've got 30 seconds. Under the what they want to do is bring it in under the Privileges and Immunities as opposed to the Due Process Clause.
Okay, so hold on to that thought for 1 second.
Thing too.
Dane, hold on to that thought for 1 second, because when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you a little bit about the open letter that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, which to me sounds like a great party, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms sounds like a great party to me, but the BATFE sent to the Tennessee FFL holders, okay? So you guys stick here, and then we'll get Dick on the phone as well. We'll be right back, everybody, after the break.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heese. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Mr. Dick Heller and Mr. Dane Von Breichenruckart. I think Heller needs no introduction. Mr. Von Breichenruckart does not either, but he is the president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation, and Dick Heller, of course, the prevailing party in the Heller versus D.C. case. Dane and Dick, are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. I want to apologize to anybody out there that may be hearing any feedback. We're working feverishly to correct that if, in fact, you are. We are working the boards to take care of that if, in fact, you can hear it. If you can't, more power to you. Guys, there was a letter sent out, okay? And Dane and Dick, both of you are aware that Montana states' rights issues now is huge.
Yes, I love it.
Okay, yeah, I do too. Dick, tell me what you think about that.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of echo from my own voice.
Okay, is it can you bear with us here and can you go ahead and complete that thought, or do you want us to try to work on that for you?
Well, actually, that's a legal issue that that Dane could best answer. But as soon as I saw that article, I put it on my website. And with a comment of you know, freedom is just over the hill. Look at what the states are doing to exercise their Ninth and Tenth Amendments, or something like that. But Dane's the one that's on top of that.
Dane, go ahead and give us your opinion on that.
Yeah, well, here's the situation that anyone's going to run into, like out in Montana. The idea is that if you make a gun, build a gun, sell it in Montana, and keep it in Montana, then Montana ought to be able to do whatever it wants to do, and it should not fall under the guise or the authority of the alcohol and tobacco tax and firearms. In other words, the federal government should keep its hands off. This is strictly a state activity. The problem is under the Commerce Clause as well as the Dormant Commerce Clause, it's replete with the under the, particularly here would be the Commerce Clause. They would say, look, you can't control what happens. The gun could still get moved out of the state. But even if it stayed within the state, it can still be held under the authority of the federal government through the Commerce Clause because, and this was an actual case, a farmer was growing crops to feed himself and his family. He didn't offer them for sale at all. And what happened is that technically he was not supposed to grow more than a certain amount of corn or a certain amount of vegetables or whatever it was that he was growing. In other words, he was under this limitation if he wanted to get any kind of money from the federal government. And when they saw that he was growing these extra crops, they said, well, you can't do that. And he said, oh, no, this is just what we consume here. And they still fined him and they, you know, took him to court. And essentially the decision, and putting it in layman's terms, the decision was essentially that, look, it still affects commerce because if you didn't grow it yourself, you would have had to have gone to the grocery store and purchased them there. And the grocery store would have bought the fruits and vegetables that you were growing, would have bought it from sources that would have come in from outside the state. So essentially, you could just about, under the Commerce Clause, you could just about justify the federal government's involvement in anything under that. And where they finally drew the line in the sand on the Commerce Clause was under a gun case, the Lopez gun case, and that had to do with having a gun within 500 feet of a school. And a state objected to the federal government trying to prosecute this guy under the federal law, and they said, no, this is a police power. This is a state matter under police power, and the Supreme Court ultimately agreed. And so the Lopez case and the laws, federal laws banning guns within a certain amount of distance of a school have been struck down. They don't apply anymore. But this is an example of the overreach, the over-federalization and over-criminalization of federal laws, that they actually will duplicate state statutes that are already in place in protecting the state. The federal government will still come in and duplicate those efforts over again. So that's kind of what's going on here. I don't think Montana is going to get a favorable decision, but it's a good place to start to start exercising your 10th Amendment muscle. But it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight before it's over with.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. I want to give the listeners out there a little taste of what the U.S. Department of Justice is telling Tennessee FFL holders right now. Now, Tennessee passed the Tennessee Firearms Freedom Act, HB 1796, which took effect on June 19, 2009. Now, Dane, you touched on that a little bit. I won't go into too much detail. Time doesn't permit. However, this letter went out that says, the purpose of this letter is to provide guidance on your obligations as a federal firearms licensee. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is dedicated to your success in meeting your requirements as a federal firearm licensee. The following guidance is intended to assist you in accomplishing this goal. The passage of the Tennessee Firearm Freedom Act, HB 1796, effective June 19, 2009, has generated questions from industry members as to how this state law may affect them while engaged in a firearms business activity. The act purports to exempt personal firearms, firearms accessories, and ammunition manufactured in the state, and which remain in the state, from most federal firearms laws and regulations. However, because the act conflicts with federal firearm laws and regulations, federal law supersedes the act and all provisions of the Gun Control Act and the National Firearms Act, and their corresponding regulations continue to apply.
Yeah.
What they're saying is, the heck with your law, and this was brought up at the GCO convention, and I wish you could have been there to talk about this, but we're talking about this incrementalism again, and I believe it was Representative Timothy Bearden and Representative Billy Horn that made the same comment. Listen here and pay very close attention. Once these people get power, they are loath to give it up. Loath to give it up. And that's what the ATF is saying. We don't care what you say about your own state sovereignty. We control you. You better do what we say. And I believe this is going to go further. Dick, I've got a quick question for you here.
Sure.
I want to know from you, specifically, okay, since the decision and since everything that you've sacrificed for all of us, and you're laughing, what is the most ridiculous thing that has happened to you?
Interesting question. There's so many elements, but I think there's two that really stand out, and one is in D.C., the citizens prior to the Heller decision were not allowed to have guns, and Dane and I worked out a strategy where if I would become a special police officer, they would then turn around and give the same citizen a gun. So one hand you can have it, but granted from grants from the government, they'll give me a gun to wear as an SPO to protect the judges and government workers in D.C. And then on top of that, after the decision, I had, even though I was a policeman that they'd given the gun to, I had to go through a waiting period, FBI fingerprint, background check, pay fees, just a whole bureaucracy of hurdles before I could then get my own gun registered. And if that's not ridiculous or governmental bureaucratic insanity, I don't know what is. And then you top that off. One of the other plaintiffs wanted to register a green gun, and the city said, "Oops, we only have three colors: black, silver, and brown. Green guns are not allowed." And it's just another example of the how they want to control everything, and another example of incrementalism. And what the new up-and-coming color in the feminine world for firearms is the pink lady, the pink pistols, and those have not yet been approved. So what's the problem with the colors? There's just a list of them, of things that are that ridiculous.
I can think of other words other than ridiculous to describe that, but we're live on the radio, so I'm not going to mention them. But they're comical at best and scary at worst, because this is the way, and you know, we beat this dead horse week after week after week on this program, that you've got to pay attention. You've got to sleep with one eye open here. And I'll tell you what, guys, if you close those eyes one time too many and pass out, or you fall asleep at the wheel, you're going to find out that they've put a new road sign up that you were unaware of. And that is going to, folks, stay awake here. Stay awake at the wheel. This is very, very important stuff, and you've got to stay on top of the news. We'll be right back, everybody, with Dick Heller and Dane von Breckenrookhart right after the break.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio, everybody. If you're just joining us, we seem to be having a little bit of technical difficulty on the Internet live feed, so bear with us. Bear with us if you're listening to us on the Internet. Stick with us because the content is dynamite stuff. Okay, Mr. Heller, I've got another question for you. I asked you what was the most ridiculous thing that happened. What was the most incredulous thing that has happened to you since the decision came down?
You know, you used a word a while ago that I liked, Mark. Scary is a very good word for, and the more I think about it, the more scary it seems to me. We have on the city council a member that is a constitutional law professor, and you would think that a constitutional law professor would be solidly in our camp, on the Bill of Rights, even if they were liberal to some extent. But the vote came down for all the different gun control laws that the city passed within the last few years, and she said the reason that she voted against the Second Amendment, now constitutional law professor, was so that the city would have a unanimous vote and to show harmony on their thought process. And the more you think about it, then a while later I realized this is what our youths, our minds becoming educated in college, are being taught by these kinds of people. And that just does not bode good for the future. We have a lot of work to do in that arena.
They're creeping in on us, aren't they?
Unbelievably.
I've got an email here that I would like to read. And first off, before I get to that email, we're going to take two callers here at 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566. If you're the first two callers to pop up on the screen, you're going to pick up a one-year annual subscription to the Concealed Carry Magazine and the United States Concealed Carry Association. So don't be shy. Scratch the itch. This is an email that comes into us. Hi, Mark. It was great meeting you yesterday at the GCO convention. I was in the registration booth when you arrived. Can you ask Mr. Heller to comment on how important it is for the average citizen who believes in their Second Amendment rights to become involved with groups all over the country like GCO? I personally believe there is no better way for the average gun-owning citizen to to help protect their rights than by joining groups like Georgia Carry or the VCDL or even USCCA. Local state groups like GCO and VCDL may eventually, and that's the Virginia Citizens Defense League for everybody, may eventually have a larger impact than the NRA, and I believe that too. And that's from Danny in Georgia, who was at the convention. Dick, comments?
Yes, these citizens groups, grassroots organizations, have just an awesome power. And if every single individual would get out and work with a candidate with conservative thought process, pro-Second Amendment, low taxes, we could just turn politics around within the next 2 years. There's more horsepower out there than there is in all of Congress if it would just get harnessed. And I think people showing their commitment by joining these organizations is very patriotic.
You know, Dick, it's Georgia Carry, for example, is a tremendous organization. You're familiar with it from the amicus brief.
Yes.
And Dane, I'd like to ask you to comment on that brief. I know you're very familiar with it as well, and I know it was one of the best. You've quoted as one of the best that you got prior to this case being heard. Am I right?
It is. It's a very well written and a good historical accounting of essentially what they've done is. They've managed to not only rob a minority, a black person's right to own a gun, but they've convinced him that they've done it for his own best interest. I mean, nothing could be more insulting. And I made sure that I sent one of these to our, you know, we have a delegate. She, you know, Helen Holmes Norton. She doesn't have a vote, but she is a delegate for the District of Columbia and very anti-gun. And I sent her that amicus brief and told her that I was sure that I was probably never going to change her mind, but I thought she ought to be informed of the historical facts involving racism and gun ownership in this country.
The old Jim Crow laws.
Yeah. Yes, I'll tell you, admire Georgia Carey for producing that brief, because when I read it, it opened my mind. I had never realized that the source, the nascence of Jim Crow laws was gun control in the South. And you can bet that the next time I get a chance to talk to the newspapers or testify before the city council, that's going to be one of the primary topics that I bring up, is that Jim Crow is alive in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and down here as well, where I'm broadcasting from in Atlanta, Georgia, where we have the ridiculous public gathering laws, which we hopefully will be changing here. And I know across the country where we're being listened to. Now, we've got folks listening to us up in Anchorage, Alaska, and kudos to all of you guys up there with Alaska-style carry, Vermont-style carry. I'd like to see that get everywhere, and so would a lot of the politicians that we talked to at the convention yesterday. We'd love to see that across the country, and I know you guys would be fans of that as well, would you not?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a constitutional right. And, you know, it was very fascinating to me to listen to some of these politicians actually speak that. In fact, talk directly to the fact that to have a license to carry a gun to exercise a constitutional right is absurdity in and of itself. Dick, one more quick question for you. I asked you about the most ridiculous thing, the most incredulous thing. What's been the funnest thing?
Fun.
I bet it's the media, isn't it? Don't you love that?
You do something like this, and all of a sudden your life changes in little ways. I used to be sitting in the audience like everyone else, and now they want me up on stage. I get a kick out of that, because the only difference, one day I'm in the audience, the next day I'm on the stage. The only difference is Dane and I decided, and it took 15 years to do it, but we were going to do something, and we did it.
Well, we've discussed this before, and we've discussed it on this program, but it is very important, and I want listeners across the country, and you're being heard by some of our troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. We get tremendous letters from them. So you're being heard all over the world, in Canada as well. And I want people to understand this, because my children and their children, your children, folks, will be reading about the man that you're listening to on this program tonight during their lifetimes. We're talking to a living, breathing American patriot. What you've done for all of us is just beyond comprehension, and I don't think people really understand. You know, they get that snapshot of the results of the Heller decision, Dick, But tell us how long you've been doing this and the fight that you've been putting up. This is taken. You're now into your second decade, well into your second decade, fighting for my freedoms. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
Well, I got to tell you, we lived in this city since criminals have guns. After the gun control laws, we lived in fear for 20 years because a criminal could just randomly kick in your door and you were disallowed self-defense. And then in 1993, Dane and I met and slowly, to keep it short, gathered steam and came up with a strategy. We didn't know what to do, and we went from we don't know what to do, we gathered steam in our thought processes, and then we built a network and joined networks, and finally we put all the pieces of the puzzle together that got the case all the way to the Supreme Court. And everyone out there in the listening audience and the people that aren't listening can pick it up by the information being passed on. Everybody can do something. Everybody can lay a brick in the wall. And after a while, we'll have a strong fortress.
And don't you believe that joining groups, as Dan said, and I want to thank him very much for that email, by the way, because joining groups like Georgia Carry or Iowa Carry, or the Michigan groups, the Tennessee groups, the groups that are out there across the country, wherever you are, Virginia Citizens Defense League, I think a lot of these groups are modeled after the VCDL. They've been incredibly effective, and I know both of you being up in that neck of the woods are very familiar with Philip Van Cleve and the rest of those amazing people up there that have put that together. I want to let everybody know real fast, just tell the folks out there that if you're picking us up on the internet stream, you're getting raw radio. Enjoy it. It doesn't happen every week, so enjoy the raw show. It's great stuff. Now we can't sell it on a DVD, darn it. But that's okay. He's laughing. See, now, Dane, what does everybody need to know there before we go? We've got 30 seconds.
Well, the most important thing is don't just not do something. Contact your – find out who your representative is. Certainly you should know your senators. It should be a regular thing. It's like a hygiene. It's like brushing your teeth. You need to keep the pressure on and let your legislators know what it is that you expect out of them. No excuses, protection for the Second Amendment, and let them know that you're not going to let them get away with a damn thing.
You know what? That works, and we know it for a fact. I've spoken to some myself. They do listen to you. Forget the emails. Pick the phone up. Make a phone call, ladies and gentlemen, and send a regular letter.
15 seconds onto music.
A regular letter. Hey, can you remember how to do that? Handwrite it. Type it up, sign it, lick a stamp, put it in an envelope and send that thing off. It matters. They get it. They do get it. Very, very important, okay?
30 seconds until close.
Dick, Dane, I want to thank both of you very much for being on Armed American Radio tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, pick us up at usconcealedcarry.com, theamericangunfighter.com. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back next week where we're going to talk some tactics and tell you how to hide your weapons from the anti-gunners. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now.